From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 13th day of April, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, analysts say there is an oversupply of ethanol in the market that will exist until the year's end, even if a few more plants go under. Dave Dickey will have details later in this half hour. And hey, did you decide not to apply your dry fertilizers last fall? If so, are you still wondering if that's a good idea? We'll have an answer for you in a few minutes. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all comes up right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here the way the numbers finished on a Monday afternoon in Chicago from the wheat bit. Nearby May contract gained a penny and a quarter to settle at 5.23 and a quarter, July at 5.34 and three quarters, up 1 and a quarter, and December wheat up 3 quarters at 5.84 and a quarter. July hard red from Kansas City lost a half cent today to settle down a half at 5.79 and one half. Corn futures down 2 and three quarters at 3.87 and a half for the lead option May. July at 3.97 and a quarter, down 2.5 cents. September at $4.07 a bushel, 2.5 lower there as well. And December futures at 4.19 and a quarter, down 2.5. March corn 2010 at 4.31 and a quarter, down 2 cents. May soybean futures $10.21 and a half, up 14.5 today. July contract at 10.15 and three quarters, up 13 and three quarters. And the August soybeans 11 cents higher, at $9.91. September 9.54, up a dime. November beans at 9.27 and a quarter, up 5 and a quarter. May bean meal futures at 3.13.10, up $1.90. May oil up 64 cents at 36.06. April live cattle futures a nickel lower at 87.47 and a half. June live cattle futures 84.60 unchanged. April feeders at 98.95, 80 cents higher. The May at 99.62 and a half, up 70. And April lean hogs at 58.17 and a half, finished 17 and a half cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures settled at $50.05 a barrel. In the nearby May contract, a loss today of $2.19 a barrel. June futures were down $1.71 at $52.98 for the crude oil. May ethanol futures $1.54, a settlement price down a penny and a half. June down 1 1/10 at $1.57 and 9 cents. May natural gas at $3.62 and 8 cents, up 1 8 cents. It's still trading. May RBOB trading at $1.46 and a half, 1 1/2 cents or lower at this hour. And the May heating oil, that's diesel fuel, down 2 8/10 of a cent at $1.40. Propane futures at 66 and 6 tenths of a cent, a penny and 3 tenths higher at the hour. And gold futures at $894.70. That's $894.70 an ounce, up $12.50 an ounce for the day on a settlement price. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading just about 51 points lower at 8,032. The U.S. dollar at 84.64 is down 1.04 on the afternoon. And the CRB index at 226.35 is down 1.53. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight should be cloudy, a few scattered showers. Lows will range from 35 in the northwestern parts of Illinois to 48 in the southeastern part of Indiana. Tomorrow in Illinois, cloudy showers diminishing from west to the east during the afternoon. In Indiana, cloudy, occasional showers and a possible with a few thunderstorms even. Highs will range from 43 near Lake Michigan to 54 in the southern parts of Indiana. More rain and cool temps for the first half of the work week, then another less intense storm system with warmer temperatures by the weekend across Illinois and Indiana. Flooding along rivers, drainage basins will slowly improve as we head through this week.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. We're joined, as always, by Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk about this marketplace just a bit for the day. Tell me how you viewed the trade as it resumed overnight last night after a long weekend trade, kind of a lull in the marketplace as we went through Easter, I would think.
Well, yeah, we came in here Sunday evening with basically a little bit of a negative attitude from the sell-off there on Thursday afternoon after the WASDE numbers were released and lower energy values, lower equity markets overnight sort of put a damper on things. And as the trade resumed, we were able to establish lows early, and a lot of the support came from the soybean complex. Malaysia palm oil was firmer over weekend trade. Our bean oil market was somewhat firm. And continued talk of ownership or buying interest coming from the Asian market, particularly China. They continued to be interested in U.S. beans, booking 2 to 3 cargoes of Brazilian beans, continuing to bypass Argentina. And given a good lion's share of the business to the U.S. market here, so it appears old crop beans have taken over leadership here, and as long as China continues to buy, they seem to be a leader. But kind of mixed opinions this morning. When you talk to different traders and analysts, kind of hard to describe what took place today, with crude oil down over $2 most of the day, and the weaker dollar. Corn sort of failed to get something going here. Weather maps were kind of flip-floppy, kind of wishy-washy, mainly washy over this week with a good rain event here today and follow through tomorrow on moisture. Then again over the weekend, Friday through Sunday, expected another event. The midday maps added the amounts involved with the idea that we'll probably be into late next week before a lot of the area could get going here. But the longer-term maps continue to show some promise. The 6 to 10 day shows below normal temperatures and below normal precips. And even the one extended down out to 8 to 14 days shows below normal precips. So once we get through this coming weekend in here, there is a window of opportunity to start the drying process.
Start the drying process. Any place moving at all across the Corn Belt? Have you talked to clients that have put any anhydrous on? I think there probably are a few of those. Anybody actually put the planter in the ground?
There was some weekend activity in northern Illinois, some field work. I've heard of some corn in the ground just northeast of us. I don't know if that's true or not.
Hope it's got a sweater on.
It's going to need an electric blanket, too, yes. But I imagine there has been some activity in spots, but the only activity we know of is on into the south. I know on Commodity Week, we talked to Barnhart there, and he was more in posing that Memphis on south, there's some corn in, and they need to see the calendar or need to get going here by mid-April here before they start becoming nervous on their plantings.
Yeah, John Bondurant, if you haven't heard John talk, he's really pretty frank, and you can go back and listen to that Commodity Week program on our website. The address is willag.org. Just roll down about halfway and hit the Commodity Week link, and you can listen to our weekend program. John Bondurant of Memphis, Tennessee, from Bondurant Futures was our guest over the weekend. Kurt was a panelist on that program. We talked some about those WASDE numbers during Commodity Week as well, Kurt. Let's go back through them because I think it's rather important at this point to give some idea why the soybeans had some strength today. You suggested it came in part from WASDE. We'll get to that number in a moment. The numbers, of course, were showing the World Agricultural and Supply Demand Estimates, and what would be left in the bin by the time we get to this fall for corn. USDA and the WASDE numbers say 1.7 billion bushels will be still hanging around at that time. That compares to the March estimate of 1.74. Wheat at 696 million compares to 712. And the number that probably surprised most people the most and made the difference in the soybean market was that USDA in March had said we'd had a 185 or 185 million bushels left by the time we got to this fall. But this time around, just 165 million. So usage picked up around the globe. And I don't know whether usage picked up or just was deferred out of Argentina and Brazil to the United States. I think the second is probably more to the point than the first. Is that right?
You're correct. The Argentina forecast dropped from 43 million metric tons down to 39 million metric tons. So we took 4 million metric tons off production there, but that was pretty well absorbed into the demand side of the equation, but that was the drop. But the bean carryout, 165 million bushels. The exports is a record 1.2 billion bushels. Ideas that can maybe continue to climb here as long as we keep seeing Chinese interest in the soybean complex. But this number is down dramatically. We were well over the 200 million bushel benchmark, so we've been chopping away at this. And the significance of this 165 million bushel carryout is if you carry that into next year and use the acreage estimate of 76 million acres being planted, that really tightens up next year's supply-demand balance sheet quite a bit on the beans. So it's going to be real important to make sure we have 76-plus million acres and plus have favorable weather to meet this huge world demand out of Asia.
All right, Kurt, thanks much for joining us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You can hear this program again if you'd like, and Commodity Week and other ag programming. And if you can't get to the website on a daily basis, you can always dial this number, 217-333-3434. You don't hear us on the radio. At 10:15 and 3:15, we update that phone line voicemail with the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and a bit of analysis. The number is 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Analysts say an ethanol oversupply will continue through the year's end, even if Avatine Renewable Energy Incorporated shutters its plants while it tries to reorganize under bankruptcy protection. Avatine filed for protection under Chapter 11 bankruptcy last week, following nearly a dozen other ethanol producers to bankruptcy court. A lack of funding to restructure struggling ethanol companies will likely force Avatine to mothball its plants and eventually sell them. Shuttering Avatine's facilities would reduce current U.S. ethanol production by about 2%. However, the supply cut will be offset by the restart of plants that oil refiner Valero Energy Corporation recently bought from bankrupt Verisun Energy Corporation. Avatine reached a temporary truce with banks last week over the company's plan to borrow $30 million from bondholders to finance its bankruptcy case. It needs money to fund operations while it decides whether to sell itself or reorganize. Valero says it will take about a month to restart plants in Iowa and Nebraska, ethanol plants the company purchased from Verisun. Valero won 7 of Verisun's ethanol plants and the right to build an 8th during a bankruptcy auction in March. A third plant in Welcome, Minnesota, is currently shuttered and will take a little longer to ramp up to full capacity. Valero officials say an agreement to buy a remaining plant in Nebraska will likely be finalized in 1 to 2 weeks. Democrat Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois told attendees at a Chicago Council on Global Affairs that Congress should renew U.S. leadership in worldwide agricultural development and food security. The Chicago Council on Global Affairs has already conducted a study calling for a renewal of U.S. leadership in agriculture development, especially in South Asia and Sub-Sahara Africa. The study faulted the U.S. government for reducing its agricultural development efforts over the past 30 years and says that if the government increases development aid, it would be able to reduce food aid at some point in the future. Durbin says, quote, "We are spending 20 times as much on food aid in Africa as on helping farmers to grow food. That has got to change." And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find this program, Commodity Week, other ag programming you can listen to anytime you'd like, 24 hours a day, or sign up to have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. And while you're there, hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page for our free weekend marketing newsletter. Now up next, farmers around the Corn Belt are weighing soil fertility options. Many have yet to apply basic plant nutrients to fields, N, P, and K. And they're wondering if it's okay, at least on the P and K, to forego one season's worth of those applications. We'll have an answer from Fabian Fernandez, soil fertility and plant nutrition specialist right here at the University of Illinois. The reason farmers have not applied some plant nutrients, plant food, fertilizers, is simple. Last summer and fall, the price of the three primary plant nutrients, N, P, and K, or nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, the three numbers you might see on a bag of lawn fertilizer, the price of the three primary plant nutrients skyrocketed. Now, farmers will buy nitrogen one way or the other for their cornfields, but the other two nutrients, the P and the K, are just a maybe. University of Illinois soil fertility and plant nutrition specialist Fabian Fernandez says that's okay, as long as the field fertility is already in good shape.
If you have adequate fertility right now in your field, you're likely okay without doing the application or maybe reducing the application. If you are close to a point in which you'll see a response, likely see a response, then it will be useful to apply at least part of that P and K. If you can afford a full rate of application, then a started application could be beneficial.
Beneficial, but not magical in terms of yield response. So the U of I's Fernandez says it's okay not to apply the P&K if the soil fertility conditions are already adequate. If not, at least a partial starter fertilizer application is recommended. He says it doesn't really matter that the application is being made in the spring rather than the fall. Still, there may be this lingering fear of not making that application. Comes in part because of the recent crop disaster news coming from Argentina. And many have pointed not only to the drought conditions there, but also to the lack of fertilizer applications made before the last planting season as a cause for the poor yields. Fernandez, as it happens, a native of Argentina, says as long as the fields had adequate fertility rates going into that season, the poor yields cannot be hung on that peg.
If we look at the fertility, if the soils are productive and they have adequate fertility, if you're not applying P and K for 1 year, you're likely not going to see much of a difference. The case in Argentina was most likely related to the weather, that it was just simply too dry for the plants to take nutrients, to grow, not so much because of the fertility.
Dry conditions, he says, will be exacerbated if soil fertility levels are low, but not under adequate fertility conditions. It simply will not add to the problem. The nutrients are there. The plant just doesn't have enough moisture to take them up. So the bottom line for this season in the U.S. Corn Belt is if soil fertility levels are adequate, it's okay not to apply the P and K. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Joining us from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I suppose you might differ on what P&K and whether farmers should be putting that on. But, of course, Andersons are a fertilizer dealer, too, so that might make a difference. But we won't take that. Actually, I guess we could ask. Have many farmers asked about getting back in and getting prices for their dry fertilizers at this point?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are asking. You know, I don't know how much is being actually booked. That's kind of a separate division. I do good to try to keep up with the grain side, let alone try to dabble in the fertilizer side. So I don't know exactly where prices are and where they're heading, but there definitely is some interest, especially with, you know, $4 corn. Although now that we're looking at $9 beans again for new crop, you know, there's a little bit of interest there. If farmers haven't made that decision, I think they could still go either way, and some of them now all of a sudden are starting to think a little bit more favorably towards the soybeans.
Yeah, without the anhydrous on, this is one of those years that acres may switch more readily than some in the past. I'm wondering if you've got a good handle on how much anhydrous was not put on a percentage basis, comparatively speaking, in this area as opposed to previous years and in the clientele that you focus services. Do you know?
Well, I don't have a number, no, but I think a lot of people were done with their fall harvest in time that they could have put anhydrous on last fall if they wanted to. You know, the price was awful high if they didn't lock it in ahead of time, you know, the previous summer. So if they waited till the fall, a lot of them, even though they could have, chose not to. So I would think the percentage is down compared to normal. But again, you know, if the prices would come down and you know, we get a break in the weather next week, we could start to see some of that go on then and get caught up pretty quickly in this area.
Let's go about talking about cash grains and soybeans in particular. Do you have an over still on soybeans and the old crop at this point?
No, we were, I think option price was about the best we got to here. Some of the processors are still overs, but the commercial elevators are slight unders. You know, the movement has picked up ever so slightly, but not as much as what you might think for $10 beans. So basis has weakened 2 or 3 cents, but not dramatically.
And you have $9 beans for new crop there?
For January we do. Right out of the field they're $8.82, but we're getting real close to $9 right out of the field. And for people that have bins, they can get $9 for beans today.
And farmers interested in that one?
Not really. They're using, they want to sell corn on these rallies, but they're holding on to beans.
All right. And they didn't sell corn today. You think they should this week?
If they can get anything close to $3.90 to $4, I think that's a good place to sell corn, both old and new.
Your bids?
$3.81 for the old corn, $3.84 for new, $10.14 on the old beans, $8.82 on the new, and wheat is $4.35.
Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1682, Robert de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed the whole Mississippi basin for France. He named it Louisiana in honor of Louis XIV of France. La Salle returned to the New World 2 years later with intent to establish a French colony on the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi. But the expedition was plagued by pirates and poor navigation, landing on what today is Victoria, Texas. LaSalle never saw the Mississippi again. Three attempts to find it on foot failed, and LaSalle was eventually murdered by one of just 36 colonists remaining from the original 300 making the trip. In 1850, William Prout died, an English chemist. He was the first to classify food components into three main divisions: carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. In 1872, Samuel R. Percy of New York received a patent for dried milk. In 1894, R.H. Gray received a patent for a baling press. And in 1922, Sir Patrick Manson died. Manson co-founded a dairy farm in 1886 in Hong Kong, which looked to improve health by supplying cows milk free of contamination by means of stringent hygiene. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Monday afternoon. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, it was wet overnight here in Champaign County. A lot of rainfall, or at least it looked like there was a lot of precip out there. How much did most of the area get?
Well, in general, you had totals across the central areas of Illinois, and for that matter, northern Illinois and adjacent areas, in the half to one inch category, although some isolated areas picked up over one inch. And with this band of precip, though, that looks to be it here. At least it's beginning to wind down here this afternoon, and it looks like the system will be pushing off to the east as we go through tomorrow, ending this period of rain.
And then if you take a look further out, this period of rain ends, but do we have more coming yet?
We do see more on the way here, Todd. In fact, another system will be making its way across the Midwest, coming up over the upcoming weekend and on into the early portion of next week. The one item with this next system coming up around a week from now is that it's going to be even slower moving than this current system. So we do see a longer duration of days with rain associated with that system here coming up. But at least prior to that, and once this the current system goes through, you know, we will have about, you know, 3 days or so, 3-4 days of generally open conditions here. Then we have 3 to 4 days of rain with that rain system coming up over the weekend and early next week.
If you look at the Corn Belt, and I don't know whether it'll be easiest to identify those places that might be able to get into the field and would be drier, or just to say the whole thing is wet. Where might the rain not fall?
Well, coming up here, from a bias standpoint, at least the areas that look to receive at least the least precip is the northern portion of the belt in areas such as Minnesota, northern Iowa, Wisconsin. The only problem is that from a temperature standpoint, we are going to maintain the cooler bias. So despite the drier conditions, with soil temperatures currently low, and with air temperatures maintaining this coolness over the next week to 10 days, that is not the most favorable conditions, obviously, for planting. But definitely field work should be accomplished in some of those drier areas, considering the lack of rain.
How's other areas around the globe setting up for their planting season? China, I'm thinking of in particular.
Yeah, Todd, China currently is in good shape as we start the new planting season. We have seen an increase in rainfall across the corn and soybean acreage in China over the past couple of months. The past 2 weeks have trended drier, but that has likely allowed field work and some early planting to be accomplished. And with some rain on the way, that will help to maintain the current favorable soil moisture level. So right now, China's in pretty good shape starting things off.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Thanks much to Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. You have a great day. Stay dry if you can. I'm Todd Gleason.